If we turn to the Word of God and that portion of Scripture that we read, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, I want to draw your attention to the verse 64. Luke chapter 1, verse 64, this is concerning Zacharias. His mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, and praise God. His mouth was opened immediately, his tongue loosed, and he spake, and praise God. A year of discouraging silence passed. A year of discouraging silence passed. A year of delightful song ahead. That's what it is for Zacharias. Zacharias has had a tough year. He's had a difficult year. Almost a year, at least 10 months, if you study the narrative. It's been tough for him because he's been dumb. He's been struck dumb. He couldn't speak for God. He couldn't speak for the Lord. And the verse 20 of this chapter describes the year past for Zacharias, because Gabriel at the start of that year said to him, "Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." That describes the year that's passed for Zechariah. You'll be dumb. You'll not be able to speak because of your unbelief, Zacharias, because of your doubts, because of this faithlessness. You're not going to be able to speak. You'll be dumb. And that's the way it was for him for almost a year. As soon as he came out of the temple on this occasion, verse 22, he could not speak. He could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he couldn't speak, and they had to talk with him in sign language. So he can't speak. Imagine a priest, because that's what he is. He's a priest. Imagine a priest and he can't speak. He can't pray publicly. He can't read the scriptures to the people. He can't say a word for God. He can't join in the praise, even though he may be in all of the services. He was dumb. And it must have been a tough year for Zacharias. But now it is different in our text. The doubts have gone. And in verse 63, he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote saying, "His name is John." And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, and he praised God. His transformation was immediate when he wrote, "His name is John," and his tongue is loosed. Now, I remind you, all of us Christians are priests today. We're all priests. In this dispensation, the Lord Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God. We are, as the Apostle Peter has put it, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that we may show forth the praises of him, that we may speak for him, that we may glorify him with our lips, that we may pray and testify and speak and praise and show forth his glory, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're priests. But maybe like Zacharias, we're priests who have been struck dumb. We're priests that, because of unbelief and doubts, because we are staggering with unbelief, because we have these doubts and fears, and we just can't speak the way we ought. We just don't have that boldness that the Holy Spirit gives His people. And maybe last year has been a bit like that. The year, this year that's finishing and coming to a conclusion, maybe it's a bit like that. We've been dumb. We've not been able to speak. It's been a tough year. Maybe you have not been praying the way you should. Maybe in the prayer meetings, opportunity has been there, but a whole year has passed and you never prayed once. It has been hard to just thank God in public, to praise Him or ask Him something that's upon your heart. You've let the year by, and maybe you haven't been able to open your mouth for the Lord in prayer in public. The session is long, perhaps, to hear the stammering lips of faith and praise, but they have been silent the year that's passed. Maybe even in the family, though your home is a Christian home and a Christian family, and you're a father or a mother, but your children have never heard you pray. A mother who loves your dear offspring and who are good to them, but your children have not heard you this year perhaps pray for their souls. A Christian family, but dumbness in prayer at the table, or dumbness in prayer and family praise. There's been a dumbness, and you've been struck dumb, and the family hasn't heard your voice, even though you're perhaps a father. They haven't heard your voice. You have to be the priest in the home, but they haven't heard your voice. You've been dumb. Maybe even in the closet. Maybe the year has been so tough, not even in private has God much heard your voice. Even in regard to your closet, there's a dumbness. There's a silence. And maybe Zechariah's pictures are prayer life. Our prayer life in these three areas. Unbelief has crept in. It's not just that there's a fear of man. It's not just that there's a lack of faith and conviction and dedication to the Lord. It's been a tough year. Perhaps you've lost your song. Zacharias, for that year, couldn't sing. He no doubt was at the services. He no doubt went to the synagogue. The psalms were sung. The praise was uttered. But he couldn't join in. He was dumb. He had lost his song in this area as well. Maybe while he still opened his lips, there was no song. You'll be struck dumb. You'll be silent. And maybe for some of us that's been the case. We've lost our praise. The song is gone. Yes, we have the hymn books and perhaps we go through the words. But you know what I mean? A dumbness in the heart. A lack of spirit. A lack of warmth and praise. While there may be the movement of the lips and the tongue and some kind of sound coming out, there's not the warmth. We're dumb. Maybe we've lost that tongue of praise. Now, the complaining tongue hasn't gone. And the murmuring tongue perhaps hasn't ceased. We can still sigh. And the devil doesn't take away our moaning. But he takes away our praising the Lord. Zacharias must have felt this, especially because his wife hadn't lost her voice for God. You see there in verse 42, it says she spake out with a loud voice. This is Elizabeth. She spake with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women." Here's his wife. She hasn't lost her voice. She sings with a loud voice. But Zacharias is, he's dumb. He's no voice for God. Maybe the year's been like that. He's a priest. And about the priests and the Levites, that they are to stand up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. That's what they're to do. But he has no loud voice for God. The Psalms tell us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. But he has no noise because of his unbelief and his doubts and his fears. He's hindered and hampered. And maybe your past year's been like that, child of God. You've just been hindered and hampered because of your doubts and your fears. You haven't been liberated to speak for the Lord Jesus. Maybe we've been dumb in speaking the word for the Lord and witnessing and comforting others. We've just been silent. We haven't given the word in season to others that the Lord has brought along our path. But maybe said, what's the point? What's the point in speaking for God? What's the point in saying something for the Lord? Has the last year been like that? One of discouragement, one of dumbness. Well, we've got to the stage we don't even want to speak anymore. No, you must speak. You must speak for the Lord Jesus. You must speak about him. You must speak the word concerning him. You have to talk up and speak for the Lord. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, he listened. And the Lord's listening to see that we speak about him. And when we come together in one another's homes or whatever, that we're just talking about him, talking about the Lord. You have to tell what the Lord has done for you. And maybe the year that's passed, you haven't done that. You have to tell what Jesus means to you, to others. And maybe the year that's passed, you haven't done that. It's a tough year for Zacharias. I believe that that's one of the reasons why we're not in revival. There are two main reasons why we're not in revival. One of them is disobedience. Disobedience to God's commands. But the other reason is dumbness. Dumbness. Now I know that God uses anointed preaching to bring revival. But that is not enough on its own to spread it. God's people have to speak. They have to speak to one another. They have to tell what the Lord has done to them. They have to share it. And when you share it, they're saying, I want that in my heart. I want that in my life. You have to share it. You have to tell out what the Lord means and what he's done. There's a time to speak and there's a time to keep silence. That's true. But there's also a time when the silence is guilty. It's wrong. The hymn writer puts it this way, for thy rich, thy free redemption, shall thy praise unuttered lie? Break my tongue, such guilty silence. Sing the Lord who came today from the highest throne of glory to the cross of deepest woe, all to ransom guilty captives. Flow my praise, forever flow. That's the kind of spirit we should have. But that year of silence for Zacharias, according to our text, is now over. Verse 64. His mouth was opened immediately, his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. At the circumcision of his son, a change has been brought into his life. And this watch night service, I would like this watch night service to be like that, to mark a new beginning for us who perhaps have been too quiet and too silent the past year. A new beginning. And I would trust that this service might have an effect on us like it had on Zacharias,
that we might begin the new year experiencing the words of our text, the Lord opening our mouths, that we might begin to experience in our hearts something like this, so that the year ahead will be a year of praying, a year of praising, and a year of preaching and witnessing and just speaking and talking about the Lord. That's the kind of year we want. The discouraging year of dumbness to have gone, and a new year of delightful song to come.
And if that happens to us, the Lord can bring us into seasons of blessing. And so we need the Lord to do this upon us, what was done upon Zacharias. And I want you to notice the description of this transformation in him. There are four things. There is, first of all, the act of faith. He asked for a table, and he wrote saying, "His name is John." And then there is the work upon him. His mouth was opened immediately, his tongue loosed. And then the responsibility that he exercised, he spake. And then the subject that come forth from his lips, praising God. Those four things very quickly. The act of faith, first of all, verse 63. He asked for a writing table, and he wrote saying, he can't speak, he's dumb. Dumb because of his unbelief. Dumb because he didn't believe in prayer. Dumb because he didn't believe in the power of God. Dumb because of his doubts about the promises. He was dumb. He was struck dumb because he was a man of unbelief. And until he gets the writing table and writes down that word, John, he has to have an act of faith. He has to write that word down with conviction, with assurance, with remembrance. "You'll call his name John," the angel said. And now he writes it down, John. John. John is a Hebrew word. It means Jehovah has graciously given. There's only one name that unlooses the tongue. There's only one name that unlooses the tongue. It's not the name John, but it's what the name John means. Jehovah has graciously given. And who is that? It's Jesus. God so loved the world that he graciously gave his only begotten Son. He gave Jesus. And there's only one name that we have to write, one name that we have to trust, one name that we have to believe in with conviction. It's the name of Jesus. We have to believe all that the Bible says about Jesus. We have to believe all that the Bible says about Jesus Christ. And we have to trust him. And we have to inscribe his name on our hearts. Jesus. His name is Jesus. We have to inscribe his name on our hearts. We have to be surrendered to him and dedicated to him. We have to love him and have assurance and conviction about him. We have to be joined to him, to be committed to him. And when we can write his name, when we have faith in him, when we have conviction concerning the graciously given one, when we have assurance about Jesus, then something happens. Our dumbness goes. And that's what God's people need. They need the dumbness to go. And I tell you this, when you get acquaintance with Jesus Christ and get a fresh encounter with him, your dumbness will go. It will go. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. That's how it was when we were first saved. But our heart's love and faith can wane. It can wane. And when it does, our mouth closes. And the only thing that'll get our mouth opening again is our heart waxing. Waxing in faith and in devotion to Jesus Christ. And that's what we need. A good dose of heart work. And whenever there was this act of faith, he wrote his name. Then there was a work upon him. It says his mouth was opened immediately. His tongue loosed. Something happened. There are two verbs of activity. His mouth was opened. The tongue within his mouth was loosed. And the question is, who opened it? Who opened his mouth and who loosed his tongue? It was the same one who closed it and struck it dumb. The Lord. The Lord opened his mouth. The Lord loosed his tongue. You know, we cannot speak and pray for him the way we ought until the Lord opens our mouth. And the Lord looses your... Do you not want the Lord to loose your tongue? Do you not want the Lord to open your mouth? We need him to open our mouth. You know, the psalmist often prayed about this. He said, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Open my lips, Lord. You know, God often called quiet men. I think Jeremiah was a quiet man. Moses was a quiet man. He hardly knew how to speak at all, he thought. But the Lord opened their lips. Do you remember how Jeremiah, concerning Jeremiah, says, "The Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth." Jeremiah says, "He touched my mouth. He touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in your mouth." And that's what we need the Lord to do, to touch our mouth and to put his words in my mouth. Remember the prophet Isaiah, how the Lord sent a cold to his lips. He touched his mouth. And you remember concerning Ezekiel, God said to Ezekiel, "When I speak with thee, Ezekiel, I'll open your mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God." And he said in Ezekiel 29 verse 21, "I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them." And Ezekiel said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, afore he that was escaped came, and had opened my mouth, until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was opened, and I was no more dumb." It's the devil wants to shut our mouths. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus, this was some of the miracles that our Lord Jesus Christ wrought, when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. Now, the devil doesn't want you to speak. He doesn't want you to tell your brother how the Lord's been blessing you. He doesn't want you to share that word that God gave you in the morning, or that he blessed your soul through the sermon. He doesn't want you to share that word. But the Lord does. He wants you to share it. Let the year ahead be a year of sharing the word one with another. And the Lord will hearken. The Lord will listen. And he'll write a book. And he'll send you a blessing. He'll send you a blessing. And then, not only the action that he experienced, his mouth was opened, his tongue loosed, but then he carried out his responsibility. He spake. He spake. You still have to do that. Yes, the Lord has to do his part. He opens our mouth, he looses our tongue, but we still have to carry out our responsibility and speak, do the speaking. We actually have to talk. The sovereignty of God in the opening of our mouth, and yet our responsibility in just speaking. He spake. Let that be the year that, this year, 2016, let that be the word about you. He spake. He spake. Your neighbor, the sick one that you might visit, your children. He spake. He spake. He said something for the Lord. He spake. So we have to speak. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them speak. Let them talk out. Zacharias is doing that now. He spake. And what did he speak? He praised God. He praised God. That he just glorified the Lord. Brethren and sisters, maybe there are things last year we shouldn't have spoke about. We have our regrets. We shouldn't have spoke about those things. That gossip, that wasn't glorifying to God. Going over that wasn't edifying. That wasn't sweet. Or salt of the earth with savour. That wasn't wholesome. We have to confess that the dumbness, but we also have to confess the nonsense of the past year that was spake. But let the year ahead, may the Lord give us grace to speak sweetly, to speak salt with savour that will do people good, that will be to their edification, that will lead them closer to the Lord and not drive them away from God. May the Lord give us grace to speak like that, to speak about the Lord Jesus and to speak to the Lord Jesus. May the year ahead be a year speaking to the Lord Jesus like you've never spoken to him before. May you have this experience of Zacharias for a whole year. He's going to make up for a whole year that he's lost. He's going to speak for a year ahead like he's never had before. He's going to recover the year that the locusts have eaten. He's going to make up for it. In fact, if you read the end of this chapter, he does make up for it because he's filled with the Holy Ghost and he utters a marvelous prophecy. He speaks a word. And we want to be like that. We want the Lord to bless us. We want the Lord to fill us with his Spirit. We want the Lord to empower us so that we speak and praise God. Not speak about ourselves. Or not speak about others. Or not run people down. But just to speak about him. And for him. And to him. May that be the kind of year we have in 2016. We'll close by singing that hymn that we quoted. Mighty God, while angels bless thee. Mighty God, while angels bless thee. And that is in our hymn book, that is number 44. In our hymn book, number 44. Mighty God, while angels bless thee. May immortals sing thy name. Lord of men as well as angels, thou art every creature's theme. May immortal sing thy name. Oh, you've only one life. You've only one mouth. You only have it for so many years. Use it. Speak about him. Let's sing this hymn and praise him. Hymn number 44. Mighty God, let's stand and we'll close with the singing of this hymn.